The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that shines a light on the dirty underbelly of Arizona State prisons. Rodeos? Really? Rodeo? That was the thing?
The movie that made you think that prison was going to be a lot of laughs and a lot of fun and excitement until you go to prison and it's just all man-on-man rape.
The movie where arguably the greatest stand-up and the greatest comedic actor of all time team up to make a pretty okay comedy. It's not bad.
It's all right. This is Stir Crazy on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, your movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we are talking about Stir Crazy.
Are we? So we're talking about the first movie directed by a black director that made over $100 million.
That's right. This is a big monumental event. In fact, the most successful based on ticket sales.
Based on ticket sales, yeah.
For a black director all the way up until now, basically.
Yeah, up until Black Panther.
Up until
got demolished.
Yeah, well, up until the giant machine that is Marvel/Disney just owns your soul.
They're just like, all these records, fuck all of them. We're taking all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what, all of them.
All of them belong, all of your bases belong to us.
I would, if I was, what's her name, the director, Wonder Woman, I would be like, They're gonna surpass my movie.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Hire a female director, give her a big fucking tentpole, and then that's gonna be it.
Yeah. Even though nobody cares about Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel is definitely gonna break Wonder Woman records.
People will care about Captain Marvel. Yeah. And then because everybody's super excited about it.
Nor should they, because honestly, Captain Marvel is not a very interesting character.
Yeah, but Brie Larson.
Yeah. And Marvel.
Yeah. So this movie made $101,300,000. Again, the first movie to directed by Sidney Poitier.
Yep.
Directs his movie.
Famous actor, famous director, filmmaker, artist.
Yeah. I think he swam the English Channel several times.
Probably did. The guy was...
Yeah. He invented flight.
If I
remember correctly.
Human flight. No plane needed.
Yeah. He made peanut butter.
He was the first man to slam a jamma.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was the first... I don't know if you remember that, but if you look it up... Yeah. Slamajama Origins. That's Sidney Poitier right there.
Yeah, yeah. Other people had slammed, but no one had slamajammed.
There's wood etchings of him slamajamming.
There's cave 300 drawings, years yes. old.
All around Renaissance man, Sidney Poitier.
In fairness, I mean, a true, like, national treasure, yeah.
He directed a lot more movies than I thought he did. He did, like, seven movies.
He did quite a few movies, yeah. And obviously, as an actor, was renowned for many, many years.
And this movie, fucking 1980.
Yeah.
Very beginning of the...
Beginning of the 80s.
Made more than all the other awesome movies that we've talked about.
Yeah, pretty incredible. From the amount of money and also the fact that it's not a great movie, but again, you have a great director and you have, at the time...
Two of the fucking best comedic actors and...
I mean,
Richard Pryor stand-up.
Richard Pryor is pretty much... I mean, there's no... There's no agreement, but I feel like if you took a poll of every stand-up, who is the best stand-up, Richard Pryor wins.
Richard Pryor, yeah. Like, if you take a poll of, like, the best specific stand-up special,
Richard Pryor.
Yeah, we'll do that. So, yeah, just on their powerhouse.
And then Gene Wilder, I mean, obviously a huge movie star, a great actor, a great just human being from all reports.
Yeah, just an all-around lovable guy.
A really unique movie star too, because when I think of movie stars, at least, and maybe this is different from you, but you think of like that swagger.
Yeah, I mean, we think of movie stars, you think of like the powerhouse movie stars that came up in the 80s too.
Sure.
Like Stallone.
I mean, you think you think of like either the very like masculine, muscular guys, or even like back in the day when you're like Clark Gable or
Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, you think of like this very like suave Harrison Ford, very like good looking, suave, charismatic ladies man.
Woodsman.
Yeah, very like outdoorsy almost. Like you get the idea that that person could build a log cabin if given like an hour and a and like an axe.
Yeah. Well, when I said woodsman, I meant like the porn woodsman.
Oh, yeah. Also yeah. Giant dicks.
Also giant dicks and just yeah. knocking them out.
Yeah. Just destroying yeah. pussy left and right. No, but Gene Wilder has this sweetness to him that is really interesting.
I mean, he was Willy Wonka.
He was Willy Wonka, but even beyond that, like even when you look at like Blazing Saddles, or I just recently rewatched The Frisco Kid, which I know you recommended on an episode.
Yeah.
He is just the sweetest man.
Yeah.
I don't understand how anyone could be like...
He's got this, it's like this lovable charisma.
Yeah, but in a very different way.
Yeah,
like
he's charismatic, but not in a like, oh, that's a dashing guy.
Yeah, not in a dashing, not in a, I want to be that guy, but just in a like, man, what a nice guy.
Yeah.
What the nicest guy ever.
Tom Hanks, I guess.
Yeah, actually, you know, you're right. Tom Hanks is the successor, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Tom Hanks, because Bill Murray can be kind of a dick.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's part of his coolness, too. Yeah. But I feel like Tom Hanks is that guy. He's up for whatever. He's always having fun. But you can't stay mad at him, but also, like, you don't hate him for crushing, you know, for crushing pussy. Like,
yeah. Well, and in this movie, too, Gene Wilder, every girl in this movie is like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, he's crushing it, man.
Which, I mean, I guess that's accurate
from,
you know, reports.
So if you've ever seen this movie... Stir Crazy is the one where they go to prison. The one where they end up in prison. They're wrongly in prison. Now, the movie starts off
really strong.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool video montage of people being dicks in New York.
Well, I mean, that part not so much. But yeah, I mean, it's just... And this is another interesting thing about this movie, because growing up, the reason I didn't like New York growing up is because...
Everybody fucking loved New York.
Everybody was just like, fucking New York, we're the fucking best, you know?
We talked about it in a couple episodes ago.
Well, I'm sure we've talked about it before. I mean, if nothing else, I'm sure our president has talked about it many times. New York is the best.
Yeah.
We got the best everything. We got the best
the best pizza,
best buildings. We got the best me.
Yeah. Not but this movie.
This is the only movie I think I've ever seen where they're like, New York kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the shit. So it starts off with them doing some fucking felonious shit. They go to jail later on, and this is skipping ahead.
Right.
They're wrongly in prison.
Completely wrongly.
In the very beginning... They're doing some fucking felonious shit. Like,
somewhat. So,
Gene Wilder, I don't believe that he was an actual store detective. Like, I think
Was
just, yeah. Yeah. Although he did say he got fired.
Because I'm pretty sure it's canonical that he was. But yeah. I like your theory that he was just a pervert.
Yeah. Yeah. He's supposed to be like a loss prevention guy, like a store detective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he stops this girl.
Very pretty girl.
Very pretty girl. And he tells her, like, hey, I saw you acting in Romeo and Juliet. And then you think he's hitting on her. And then he's like, oh, also, I'm the store detective. And I saw you steal that dress.
Yeah.
And I know you're not wearing anything under your trench coat. All right. So here's the thing. Set up for Full Frontal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I got super excited.
Yeah.
Because I was like, cool. We're setting up Full Frontal on this already. I know Richard Pryor's in it. It's an R-rated movie. Like,
it's an R-rated comedy from the 80s.
Yeah. So we're good. And then also, there was no setup before it.
No.
So we never see her steal anything?
No. It's just, we see the girl, he walks up.
Yeah, he just starts talking. Yeah, none of that happens, actually. I was disappointed in that.
Eventually, we'll get to some boobs. But
yeah, we will get to boobs eventually. But yeah, I was disappointed in the no full frontal off the bat.
So
he was really funny in that scene.
He was very funny and charming in that scene. But the end result is that I guess she was innocent because he gets fired.
He gets fired, but they never
say why. We never get really a resolution to that scene other than him talking in the bar later.
Yeah.
But we do see Richard Pryor. He's like a waiter at a very fancy dinner party.
Yeah.
It's like a private party, so he's like a catering waiter, not like a restaurant.
And everybody's like, I love this salad.
In love with this salad. And I even said to Francisco...
Nobody likes salad that much.
Yeah, I was like, I like salad all right, but come on now. Yeah. These people are freaking out about some salad.
The 80s rich people fucking loving salad and shit. They would.
This seems a little much. And then you find out that the cook has been sprinkling his stash.
Yeah, they thought it was oregano. No. It's a super expensive, like, Colombian weed, or I can't remember what you said.
I think it's Cuban. Cuban 65 or something like that. Yeah.
Some really good weed.
Yeah.
So that's why everybody's fucking, like, loving it and going crazy.
And the preacher's getting all into it, and the girl next to the preacher is, like, giving him a hand job under the table.
No, it's like, he has his hand on her leg. And
I'm pretty sure a hand job under the table.
Yeah, she's like, no, put it back there or whatever. And then this made me ask the question, if you're a priest... Like a Catholic priest with the little white thing and everything like that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And if you're a young, attractive priest,
which I am,
does, of course, does that, well, because it's God, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, based on everything I know about you.
Yeah, yeah. I am a true believer. The Lord's and, words. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Does it make you more fuckable to women? Does it make you like more like the way that the wedding ring does?
Which they, is they why, say, yeah. Which is why on my way home tonight, I am buying a priest outfit.
I feel like probably don't do that now. I mean, the stigma with priests is not going to be.
Oh, you're dashing. Right. Yeah.
But in 1980, maybe.
Yeah, you're right.
No, it's still though. I mean, if you're a young, attractive priest.
Sure, sure.
Because, all right, so convents, they have priests in them. Like, they have usually, like, one guy that runs the whole convent.
That's true. And
for some reason, women are not allowed to run
their
own fucking
thing.
And
if porn has taught me anything, is that nuns are super hot and super, super horny. Down to fuck.
Yeah, all the fucking time because they're nuns.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll put whatever in there.
Yeah.
So,
if Little Hours also taught me this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a cool movie. That was a cool
yeah.
movie. Like, I was actually, last night I was watching, it's called like Behind the Convent Walls or something like that that I have, and it's a nunsploitation, I just saw like watching a nunsploitation movie.
Of course.
So I put it on real quick and I forgot that there's like full on penetration in it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like a French movie. It was super nice. Cool.
Way to go, French.
I know, right? I was, it was like a... Like
now, as because I'm not a Catholic person.
Yeah.
But you were raised Catholic.
Yeah.
So is that like a particular like, fuck yeah?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's why I have a nunsploitation.
Okay, okay. Fair enough.
Collection of movies. All right. Because nuns, they do it for me.
Yeah.
So that's my question. On the opposite side of that, do like young, attractive, because you know, I don't want to say all priests.
Well, exactly.
Like young, attractive priests, do they do it for women?
I think yes. And I also think now that we've like kind of narrowed down that, I feel like I need not only a priest outfit, I need a rabbi outfit. I need a very long fake beard and like Muslim robes.
I don't think I need, any of those do it for me.
No, nothing. Can I get like a, I don't know, Buddhist monk outfit?
Maybe. Because Buddhist monk has all martial arts in it.
Yeah, that's true.
So you
that's
still
true.
Kick some ass.
Yeah.
There's nothing hotter than just a quiet monk that's not fucking with anybody until they fuck with him.
Yeah,
and then bam. True.
He doesn't want no trouble.
Kicks your nose bone straight into your brain and you're dead.
Right. Yeah.
That's how it always should be. Or it uses, like swings around on silk, I don't know, fucking drapes and shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what they do. If I remember correctly, that's what Buddhist monks do.
Yes.
They swing around on fucking drape things, like I said.
Yes, if 30 years of watching wire food movies have taught us anything.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Yeah.
What's with the dots?
Oh, Hindu?
Yeah. Well, no, Hindu.
Oh, no, you're talking about the Buddha, like
the Buddhist full... when they have like the dots on their head thing. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit that shit I don't have.
I don't know anything about things.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
But, I mean, in a Buddhist monk to a Catholic priest fight, a Buddhist monk would destroy a Catholic priest.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would have to assume.
In a Buddhist monk to Catholic priest contest of molesting children. I feel like a Catholic priest.
They might have it. Yeah.
And just forward, I feel. Yeah. They might just. Also, they have like, the heart. They have heart.
I feel like the Catholic priest also has a much higher chance of having a gun. Which, if history has taught us anything, a gun means you win the fight.
A gun beats a karate chop.
Beats a karate chop.
Which is not what Buddhists do.
I know, like, the last 30 years of anime has taught us that swords are super cool and way better than guns. But the last 2,000 years of history has taught us that actually guns.
The one scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark teaches me that doesn't matter how big your fucking sitar or gun.
No.
What was it called? The knife.
The gun wins.
Yeah, gun will shoot you dead.
Yeah.
Unless, no, you still die.
Yeah. No, that guy definitely, Indiana Jones definitely killed that guy.
No, yeah, for sure.
But they kidnapped his woman. So what is he going
to
do?
Yeah. I mean, he could have whipped him to death, I guess.
But either way, he's done. Yeah. That's the point.
Either way, Indiana Jones is kicking.
And also, those guys were working with the Nazis, so I feel like, you know, anything goes at that
point. I'm good with that. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Anything goes.
And we talked, actually, skipping ahead again, that we talked about in the opening thing with the prison rodeo. Anything goes because they're fucking prisoners.
Yeah. So, well, and speaking again of Nazis, once we get to the prison, this is like the only prison movie I've seen in the last at least decade where there are no Nazis, there's no black power dudes, there's no Mexican gangs. Everyone's just cool.
Everyone's just getting along.
Yeah.
They just kind of help each other out.
It's just nice. It's almost like it's an idealistic prison. Yeah, I feel like we should all strive to be like this prison.
Yeah, I would
where
go,
black
I would
guys
be in that
and
prison.
White guys and Mexican guys can all just get along.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. And also, like, you could massively disrespect the guards and get very little like repercussions.
No real punishment. Yeah.
Gene Wilder goes through some punishment, but
that really has to do with the rodeo and not the fact that he slaps and jumps on a guard multiple times.
He jumps on a guard and like pretends that the guard is a horse.
Yeah.
And he gets nothing for that. They're just like, come on, man.
He's
like,
fucking crazy.
Get in there. Yeah.
Which brings up the idea that maybe the best policy, because people always say, like, if you go to prison,
like you got to
be crazy and like just beat the shit out of somebody first day. Maybe the best policy is just to like put your pants on your head, run around and just like
being crazy.
Yeah. Just be literal crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, I was telling you. So if I was in prison, I felt like the chance of me being raped was high.
Which if you were in prison.
For sure, if I were in prison. Yeah, first of all, just being in prison ups your chance of being raped.
I would think a lot.
85%, I would say.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, if you're a looker like me.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Very good looking fella.
Then you go up another 10%. So we're at 95% chance of me being raped. I would just shit my pants every day in and day out.
The only problem is there's going to be a scat man in there that is into that shit. There's
one fucking guy.
There's at least one fucking guy.
Also, the way prisons are nowadays, you're usually not in like an individual cell. You're just in a big room with a bunch of bunk beds that you got to share. And I feel like if you smell like shit every day, they will fuck you up. They will
beat the fuck out of you. Yeah.
So possibly. Although, we did talk about on one of the other episodes that you would try to rape a guy first night in.
Right, that's true, yeah.
So that you're the rape best.
The rape best, you're not the rapey. Yeah.
And despite not being gay, remember, you just try to mush it.
Yeah.
As long as there's some sort of rape situation happening.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get back to this fucking movie.
Right. So the movie actually starts out really, really funny. So they both the whole weed incident gets Gene Pryor. Richard Pryor, the same guy, yeah. No, Richard Pryor, great stand-up. He gets fired from his like catering job.
Yeah.
And then Gene Wilder, I guess the inference is that the girl was innocent.
I feel like that shit was cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The girl was innocent and he got fired for like bothering this actress.
Yeah. Well, if he would have pulled off her trench coat and she was completely naked and then he like grabbed some tits or something.
Yeah. Maybe it's a Me Too situation.
Yeah. Possibly. Exactly. Who knows? Then you get fired for that.
Yeah. But, and maybe they were just like, hey, because he's also a playwright.
He's trying to write.
Richard Pryor's an actor and he's a playwright.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's one of these things where it's like, you've bothered the last actress. You ever bother every actress that comes in here because you're trying to sell your fucking shit.
Yeah. One scene would have done it.
Yeah. But either way, they both get fired. They end up at this bar. This is where Gene Wilder is getting hit on by every woman.
A young Asian chick that Richard Pryor's super into, but that's she comes up and kisses him. And then there's a fight. Between a big guy and a little guy.
Where the little guy grabs some pliers.
And then fucking grabs a dude's cock.
Yeah, with pliers.
With the pliers and twists it. And there's close-ups of it.
It's very painful.
Yeah. And then Gene Wilder is like, I'm getting in there.
It's a pretty funny scene.
It is.
Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor are talking. And he's like, you know what? It's just this town. This town makes you crazy. Like, I bet if you just talk to them and dealt with them like adults, don't do it. And he walks up there. And it just so happens that that's the moment that the guy gets the other guy's dick in a fucking vice.
So he's talking to the really big guy thinking that he's going to kick his ass. And he's like, oh, I think you guys should stop and all that. And the big guy's like, yes, can we please stop?
Because
it's a pretty funny scene.
His dick's being smashed by pliers.
Several close-ups of pliers smashing crotch.
Smashing dish, yeah. It's very awkward watch, yeah.
Yeah. And it was the first instance that I thought, this is weird. I feel like Richard Pryor is playing Gene Wilder's role and Gene Wilder is playing Richard Pryor's role.
Which is pretty much true throughout the movie.
The whole movie, yeah. I mean, just my misconceptions of what they should play.
What they are, yeah. Well, and that's also based on the fact that they did three other movies together.
Yeah, and that Richard Pryor was doing a ton of fucking cocaine at this time.
Yes. So there's also behind-the-scenes stories, which, I mean, they're on the internet, which means they're not necessarily true, but they are definitely 100% true.
Of course,
which is that he was freebasing coke every night and showed up at like
whenever
noon,
he wanted,
whenever
to
he wanted. Yeah,
shit,
just
yeah.
Yeah.
But
which is probably part of the reason why he's not. This is billed as a Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor vehicle in the same way all their movies are.
Yeah,
but it's really Gene Wilder featuring Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Like Richard Pryor is not nearly in. At least as much as a focal point.
No. He's very much a supporting character.
Yeah, which I feel like because Richard Pryor showing up at 1 a.m., 1 p.m.
They're like, we already shot a bunch of shit,
then that makes a lot of sense.
And they were improvising a lot of stuff, and I feel like if Richard Pryor's that high,
yeah,
he's not that good at improvising all the crazy
Not necessarily, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they decide, they're like, fuck this town. Let's get the fuck out of this town.
Their whole idea is that they're going to get to LA eventually where they can
make it.
Finally. They're going to finally make it. But along the way, they're going to go across all the beaches and the sand and the girls in bikinis. And they're going to like work and live. They're just going to be the greatest time of all time.
They take a cool ass fucking like BW buggy.
It's a Dodge buggy. It's a it's a Dodge mini like van.
Yeah.
Which has that kind of, for us, for our generation, it still feels very much of that like 1960s.
Yeah, it like, still has that
free loving. It's, only like a, yeah,
it's really
yeah.
only like a 12-year-old fucking van.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not bad at all.
No. So but it breaks down almost immediately.
Yeah, yeah. It breaks down and they end up in this bar. And again, there's a scene. It's a scene of Gene Wilder kind of being crazy and fucking with these hicks.
Yeah, yeah.
And like just getting in people's face, and Richard Pryor has to pull him off and be like, no, let's fucking
so chill. Far, movie actually very fun. And then they finally end up in this town, which is Tucson.
It's Tucson. This fucking movie was shot here.
This movie was shot here.
In the prison here.
Yep.
It was shot in the downtown area here. These whole scenes, which is pretty cool. See the fucking
since we're here. Yeah.
Yeah. 40 years ago and shit, what it looks like, which is exactly the same. Goddamn it.
Yeah. Unfortunately. But they end up taking this job at this bank where they dress up as chickens and they do this song and dance. And I don't really understand why
the bank would have it.
Why? Well, first of all, like I understand why you would put people outside the bank.
Yeah.
But the people inside the bank,
it's like they're doing like a performance.
Exactly.
There.
And the people inside the bank already bank at the bank.
Yeah,
not like you're getting new customers.
It's a little weird. It's funny. I mean, it's a funny scene, but it makes no sense.
Yeah. Like,
I don't understand what these chickens are going to teach us about financial responsibility.
No. I mean,
yeah. I mean, is it like
a chicken? I mean, in fairness, a chicken did teach me everything I know about financial responsibility, yeah. Which is why I'm deeply in debt.
Yeah,
just massive
yeah.
debt.
Yeah,
and but very highly invested in chicken feed.
Yeah,
so
that's probably why. Actually, yeah. I keep telling you don't have to get that much chicken feed.
I don't know.
Half of it has gone bad. It's all mold now.
But it's
that's but the what, chicken.
Yeah, the chicken told me I should get that feed. So I just have barrels of it in my house.
It is just one fucking chicken that again does not exist. I'm gonna tell you, this is just a chicken in your fucking head. They keep telling you to buy more feed, and I mean, just sits there and rots.
Look, it may or may not. I mean, look, was Ben Kenobi in Luke Skywalker's head?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
He clearly was a delusional psychopath.
God damn it.
Skywalker.
My entire life.
Well-known Skywalker.
The psychopath. Curse of insanity.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out First of all, his grandma forgot that she had sex.
Yeah.
His dad went crazy and became an evil cyborg. So, yeah, family history of neurotics.
He wasn't just going to be a normal guy.
No.
Forgot that she had sex. No, she was Virgin
maybe,
Mary.
Maybe she was working really hard on Liam Neeson, because Liam Neeson's an attractive dude.
Yeah,
tall dude, good-looking dude.
Qui-Gon.
Got that Irish accent.
Oh, yeah.
She's been like, no, I'm pure. I don't know why I had this kid. I
swear to God, it must be God, immaculate.
Immaculate is the whole thing, yeah. But then Liam Neeson left her.
Yeah, I mean, by being killed by Darth Maul, I guess.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah. Bastard.
Yeah.
Running out.
Killed by noted no character.
Noted Sith.
Noted Sith. Yeah.
But
anyways.
Anyway, yeah. So they do this song and dance routine, and it's pretty funny.
It's a pretty funny thing.
It makes absolutely no sense, but it's pretty funny.
There's a little bit of dirty jokes mixed in there. Yeah. They're playing to the crowd.
We get one of these, they
have a lunch break.
We get one of these like shots that I feel like the movie didn't have to do. Like Sidney Poitier. You don't have to do the shot, but it was a shot of him putting his chicken head on a coat, and then the
lingers.
Fucking camera
it lingers,
like, goes like fucking dollies into it and lingers. Yeah. So we're like, all right, something's gonna happen to the stupid chicken head. Like, you don't have to be that
Didn't
obvious.
Need to.
With it.
No.
Yeah, because then what happens is they go to lunch and two bank robbers
grab their outfits,
and do rob like the same. Also, they knew a lot of that song.
Oh yeah,
they know like the whole song.
They know
and
the whole song.
But halfway through the song, they do a very cool thing that I liked a lot, which is they incorporate a punch. Yeah. He straight punches a lady like half through his choreography. So it matches with his choreography and it's just like, bam. No, it's a guy, right? He punches the security guy.
He punches the security guy screams, and then a lady screams and he slaps her.
And he slaps the lady for screaming.
He like backhands her. Yeah.
And then they rob the bank. They take off. And then So they get arrested for it.
Because they're the chicken guys.
Yeah, because they're the chicken guys. Clearly, they left and bought food.
Right. Clearly, from they somewhere. Left. First of all, they left specifically from Whataburger and Dunkin' Donuts because yeah, we what see it was. The bags.
Yeah.
And also, they walk back up and are like, hey, what's going on?
Which criminals would not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like, yeah, if they would have just been like, hey, we just were at lunch, ask the lady at Whataburger.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just there. Like, check your fucking 1980 surveillance video.
Not even surveillance video. Just if you walked into Whataburger and were like, hey, do these two guys look familiar? And the lady was like, yeah, they just bought lunch because Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor are kind of unique looking fellas.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can go to the trash can and pull the trash out of the receipts.
Yeah, exactly. Any of those things. This is actually one of the rare movies where if this happened today, they'd be like, no, I paid with my debit card because of course I did.
Yeah.
Check the records.
Check my phone.
Check my phone. Check my fucking phone. My GPS. Tracking.
Yeah.
I was clearly at fucking Whataburger.
Yeah, what a world we fucking live in.
Yeah. But back then, they were just like, nope, chicken guys, throw them in prison.
Yeah. And it definitely was a very much like a, the judge was like, nope, we don't stand for your kind around here.
And there's some fun stuff with them in the county jail where they're like messing with some big black dude and
yeah.
Richard Pryor's freaking out. Richard Pryor has a lot of fun freak out stuff.
That was actually really good. It's about him asking for a light.
Yeah.
This giant black dude and he asks him for a light and he's like, oh, super bummed.
He's trying to light
like,
it. Yeah. And eventually he lights it on the dude's chest.
Yeah. And then he's freaking out and then he asks him what they're in there for and he says bank robbery. And then the guy's like, oh man. Like we call it the baby kisser or something like that.
Something.
Cause
yeah.
you kiss the baby goodbye because apparently in Arizona, or at least in movie Arizona,
yep,
it's a mandatory like fucking 100 years.
Life
sentence for robbing a fucking bank.
Yeah.
So that's what they get. They get 130 years.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Which for robbing a bank again, because in 1980, you rob a bank, you take $2,000.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But again, adjusted for inflation, that is like
$24 million.
Yeah.
And also, we are in a state where it's the old West. And all these laws carry over from the old West.
That's right.
Robbing a bank was a big deal.
Yeah. You can hang a man.
Yeah. You would just get hung immediately.
Yeah.
Just on the suspicion of it.
Exactly.
And so anyway, they get sentenced. Their lawyers are
still true. If you kiss a horse, hanging.
Yeah. Can't. Yeah. You can't kill a horse. You can't spit on the sidewalk in some cities.
Nope.
I don't want to make it sound like idiots.
If you make a disparaging comment about a lady's backside, hanging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why all those rappers won't come here.
No.
That's true. They can't come here.
It's totally that and not the whole MLK Day thing that they didn't ratify for a long time. It's definitely the ass thing.
For no reason. Yeah. It's the ass hanging.
Which ass hanging.
Home of the ass hanging.
So many ways to like interpret that.
Yeah, right? Ass hanging could be a million things.
But also, home of the ass hanging, I feel like I almost kind of want to know what that's about.
Yeah.
Right?
Pornhub home of the ass hanging. I'm just going to make one video that's called that.
Yeah. Ass hanging.
Home of the ass hanging. And then people will be like, what the fuck is this?
Hanging an ass?
I have no idea.
I don't know what it is.
Is it hanging? Are you hanging and your ass is out?
Are you hanging your asses out? Or is it like, do you put the rope around the ass?
Yeah, like, are you hanging from your ass?
From your ass?
Yeah. Is it? Are you just hanging?
Yeah.
Is there an ass
is it like
a donkey?
Suspension thing? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
we're kind of close to Tijuana.
Yeah, exactly. We're pretty close to the border. So, like, is it, yeah, it's one of those. I feel like any one of those. So moneymaker.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to get some Pornhub residuals.
Yeah. And 1 cent per view or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Which anyhow.
Doesn't sound like a lot, but it could be.
No. It adds up.
Yeah.
A million hits, it adds up.
So they go to jail. They get 100 years. And then.
Their lawyer is very bad, first of all.
Yeah, but he's trying.
He's trying and he feels bad.
He also brings in a sexy assistant. Who is the mom from Poltergeist?
The mom from Poltergeist. The dad from Poltergeist. Our old friend Craig T.
Craig T is in this. This is like his fifth fucking movie.
Yeah, he's in all of our fucking movies.
God damn it, Craig T. Nelson has shown up in so more movies than any other fucking actor.
It's insane how much we've had to talk about Craig T. Nelson, an actor that I don't care about.
Yeah, at all. But he's shown up in so many of these fucking movies. And
he's
a small part in this, just like some of the other ones.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
Poltergeist, he's a main character, but every other movie we've talked about, he has been like a bit character.
Yeah, he's just like he's like the warden's main guard.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the guy in every prison movie that the warden's like, rough him up.
Yeah, yeah, he's a muscle.
Yeah, yeah, he's the muscle guy.
The henchman. Yeah. And the warden is that super country bumpkin style.
Yeah.
What's his name? Jonathan. No, not Jonathan. It's Barry Corbin.
Barry Corbin. Jonathan Banks, who you're about to mention.
Yeah.
Who everyone listening to this will know from Breaking Bad.
It's Mike from Breaking Bad.
Mike from Breaking Bad. But this is before his head became this weird shrunken pear, three-week-old pear of a head.
Microwave potato.
Exactly.
We were talking about that because he doesn't look like when you see him as a young guy, you're like, what happened? Like, he doesn't look like that anymore.
Yeah, he's like a good-looking dude.
Yeah, it's not that he was weird-looking. And it's not that he's like super young-looking and different. It's just that he's fucking weird-looking now.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like he just decided to start boxing till he was 54.
Exactly. Some combination of boxing or, like, if you've ever played Fallout, it looked like he's been out in the radiation too long.
Shit is, like, cysts have grown.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he did not wear his radiation-proof suit while he was out in the, like, fucking swamps.
Yeah, his head has swollen and gotten weird, and his ears got all big and cauliflowery looking.
He's broken his nose at least 8 times.
Yeah. He's a fucking weird-looking dude.
He is.
But he's kind of like he's like the snitch prisoner.
He is a bit the snitch prisoner, yeah. He's jealous. He wants to be the main guy in the rodeo?
Yeah, so... God damn it, we were like, was that ever really a thing? Because I've heard of prison rodeos before. Prison rodeos, a huge fucking thing.
A huge fucking thing. Still a thing.
Still a thing. Louisiana still has like the biggest prison rodeo in the nation.
Giant thing. Louisiana, a state we've both been to and love.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing with a prison rodeo?
Prison rodeos. What is
the incentive? What the fuck are we doing not having a prison rodeo?
Is it just because...
Because it sounds
amazing. Yeah. Well, first of all, the stakes are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
If the guy gets gored by a bull,
he's a
fucking prisoner.
Yeah.
Who cares? If he makes it, he's a bad boy. You know, like, yeah, cool, exactly. He's fucking doing it. What incentive do they fucking have? Do you think, like...
I think the idea is...
Is it just you get to touch fucking animals? And they're like, I've been in a fucking cell for years.
I just need human contact, animal contact, any contact.
I get
contact.
To be outside.
Yes, I need the sunshine.
Yeah.
No, I think part of it is that they're supposed to get some of the winnings. And, like, some of the winnings are supposed to go back to the prison to give them, like, books and TVs and satellite movies, all kinds of whatever shit they need.
Which, it doesn't happen in this movie.
No.
So this is... All right. This is a 1980 comedy. And what happens is they feel like they're being exploited.
Yep.
By the prison rodeo.
That's right.
By not getting money from the prison rodeo.
That's right. But you know who is getting money?
Our sponsors.
All right.
That was all right. All right. All right. Let's talk about our sponsors.
All right. So Beer Geek Bakery, providing excellent snacks all over Southern Arizona. You can find Beer Geek Bakery at breweries. Beer Geek takes the best in craft beer, makes it into delicious brownies, cupcakes, cookies, pies, pastries, whatever you need. You can find them all the time at places like Tucson Hop Shop. But if you follow Beer Geek on Instagram and Facebook, you're going to find out about amazing events at least two times a month.
Yeah, I think she's got June 1st. I think it's like Dillinger.
Yeah, they're all over. You're going to want to visit. Some of the best pastries I've ever had in my entire fucking life.
From
Beer Geek Bakery. Check them out.
And then number two, People's Choice Video for providing the movie. You can go to People's Choice Video and rent this movie for a ridiculous fucking sum. It's like 35 cents a day.
Yeah, it's ridiculously cheap.
Because it's $1.99 for 7 days.
$1.99 for 7 days. Or you can even get it for 99 cents on a Monday. $2 for $1 on Thursdays. They also got Silver Streak. You got
Blazing Saddle.
Blazing Saddle, sure. Yeah. Richard Pryor Stand Up. You know, they got it all.
All the good stuff in there. Also, you know, video games, adults.
That's right, new releases.
All the new releases. Black Panther.
Just came
all
out.
That fucking shit.
As we're recording.
Like, yeah.
So I still haven't seen.
Go to... Well, you should.
I know.
You can get it at People's Choice.
I know, and I will.
Head over to People's Choice.
That's what I'm doing tomorrow.
All right. So I feel like if you're talking about being exploited in a prison, rodeo, not at the top of the fucking list.
No, I would think. I mean, first of all, rape.
Yeah, for starters.
Just general,
that's
disrespect.
That's Norm MacDonald. That's Norm MacDonald joke.
What hurts the most?
The biggest complaint, no, it was that old daily, not daily, fucking the SNL.
The Weekend Update.
Yeah, Weekend Update. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Weekend Update. Yeah, when he says, like, topping the list, it did a list of the 100 biggest complaints in prison. top of the list, the food, surprisingly not number one, anal rape. Also, maybe the beatings.
The race riots.
There is actually one fucked up thing in there where Richard Pryor gets taken into the infirmary, and they're going to take his appendix, but...
They're also going to cut off his balls.
Yeah. And there's a guy in there who's like, they were supposed to take... I can't remember what he said they were supposed to do, or he had an ulcer or something, and they took his kidneys or something really fucked
up.
Yeah,
something fucked up.
Yeah, so I feel like Rodeo, maybe not at the top of your exploitation list, but maybe 1980 Arizona.
It was there. Yeah, it's an interesting prison movie in that, because you do have some of the classic prison things. So classic prison thing number one, they want one of the prisoners, in this case Gene Wilder, to do a thing.
Yeah, so what happens is... Gene Wilder's being a crack up.
He's being a real crack up.
He's fucking with all the guards. Again, not getting his head bashed in.
That's right. By the guards. Look, how can you bash his head in? He is so sweet.
He gets on a guard. He's such a nice man. He pretends to be a horse. He gets up. He threatens a guard at one point.
That's right.
That guy keeps telling him to write the test.
Yeah.
And he's like, the last guy that did that to me, I can't remember what he said.
But something at camp or something.
He threatens that guy.
He does. He definitely does.
They don't beat him for that.
No. Well, first of all, because him and Richard Pryor both act like insane people the whole time.
Yeah.
They're wearing each other. Like, they both have a single leg inside the pants.
Yeah, they're
like,
just being crazy.
They're being insane. They're like acting like they're having seizures or some crazy shit. Like, they're being wild and...
Craig T tells
two them, wild and crazy guys. different guys.
Craig T takes him up there to the warden, and the warden's way of punishing him is putting him in a fucking mechanical bull.
Right. So we see the guy before them come out and he's like, ouch.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I guess they're torturing them. They go inside into some mechanical bull.
Which, not really torture.
Not that much torture. I mean.
For a prisoner, pretty fun. Yeah. I'd say.
I mean, it's not great necessarily. You get thrown you're not drunk, or whatever.
Which
you're
is
not drunk.
The only time you should get
a and you're not like
bull.
A lady not wearing a bra, which is.
Yeah. Which is, again
the most.
Or like a short skirt where you're just going to see ass. Like,
thong exactly.
And stuff. Yeah. Which is the only reason mechanical bulls were invented.
Yeah.
It's just like poles. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
They were only made for chicks to get on them.
Yep.
And spin around on them.
Yep.
And in this case, though, maybe that's his whole thing. He's like...
Maybe he's just into that.
No, yeah. The word is like humiliating them by making them drunken
chicks. Oh, I thought
drunken
he was
chicks.
Just gay, but...
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. Right. But yeah, so the actual answer is that... There's the prison rodeo, and he's looking for people that are good at riding fucking, like, broncos and bulls shit like that. And so they
Gene
turn
Wilder.
It all the way up to six, which is the highest setting. Gene Wilder, no problem.
No, still spinning around, still cracking jokes.
Yeah,
still,
he's like,
still
this
cracking
is fucking
wise
great.
Up there.
Yeah.
So then
and
the guy's
like, holy shit, no one's ever gone to six before.
It's my golden child.
Yeah, this is the guy.
This is the guy. I keep losing. First of all, I keep losing the rodeo offs
right,
or whatever.
To the guy in the like next county over.
Yeah. So the other prison guy, the other prison warden, kicks his ass at rodeo all the time. Which again, I don't know how you win at rodeo.
Right. Well, you ride the longest. Yeah. First of all,
I guess.
Yeah, but also, I mean, this then it becomes the exact same plot as like. Longest Yard or pretty much any prison movie where he's like, I need you to do this thing because you're really good at it.
And
he's
like, I'm not going to
nah,
do it. So then they go, they start torturing him.
Right. So they do all the classic torture. They put him in the chains. They put him in the solitary, out in the sun. Loving it. He's just loving every instant.
He's like mud. Like you stomp on him all you want. He's got no give.
Exactly.
He's
reed that bends
the whole
and doesn't
time.
Break. Yeah.
He's cracking wise.
Oh, yeah. So
and
funny.
It's not until they're going to cut off Richard Pryor's balls.
That he finally agrees. Yeah.
Yeah. And also they tell him.
In the meantime.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you're introduced to the rest of their gang. So you have the very gay black man who's totally into Richard Pryor.
Yeah. He's so into Richard Pryor. And he tells me he can get him a burger.
Yeah. Tells him he can get him whatever he needs.
Rare. And Richard Pryor's like, I don't want that burger.
He's not into it.
Clearly, they're talking about P's and A's.
Yeah, exactly. And then there you have the Mexican guy.
Yeah.
Who becomes friends with them just because he happens to be next to Gene Wilder when they're going through like...
And he's back. When they're walking.
When they're walking. And this is a movie where everybody in the prison is totally cool. It doesn't matter what race you are.
Yeah, which was weird.
Which is kind of like...
Progressive, right? Well,
I know. Hooray to this prison. Hooray to this prison. This is the most progressive...
Good for you, prison.
They don't
you
care.
Guys know race
I know,
riots
right?
In this
no
thing.
Race riots. There's a black guy, a white guy, a Mexican. They're all best friends. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously you have the obligatory crazy serial killer guy.
Yeah. So then we're introduced to this 6'6", 350-pound serial killer
who killed his family.
Murdered his family and like 30 other people.
That looked like his family.
Yeah.
Played by Erwin van Lith.
Yes.
Now, Erwin van Lith was this guy from the Netherlands who was an MIT graduate.
MIT graduate. Very smart guy.
He made 4 movies before he died in fucking 87.
Which is crazy.
He made this movie. He was Terror in the Wanderers, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah, yep.
He was Dynamo in Running Man.
Yeah.
Which, again,
right before fucking his awesome.
And he sings in that movie. He sings in this movie.
Yeah.
And he's a really good fucking singer.
He's got a beautiful voice.
He's got a great voice.
Very smart guy, beautiful voice. Just happened to be 6'6", like scary, bald white dude. Yeah.
And his fourth movie was Alone in the Dark, the old 1980s version of it, which
not
was,
the video game was like version.
The fucking killer one.
Yeah, he's just like he's just it's just like he's a fucking slasher. Weird looking
giant
yeah.
fat. He looks like the Kingpin.
Yeah, that's my exact like I said that while we were watching the movie. This guy would have been the Kingpin had he made it to the Dolph Lundgren movie. Yeah, exactly. Had he made it to the 1989 Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren, this motherfucker's the Kingpin.
Yeah, but he didn't make it. He died in 87. He only made 4 movies, and they're all pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, I've never seen Alone in the Dark, but I assume it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, just by nature of having him.
Yeah. So he's the serial killer guy. He runs a key. He doesn't run the prison, but nobody fucks with this guy. So Craig T puts him in the cell with them.
They become like, best friends.
Yeah, and then they become best friends. And
although there is first a very funny scene where Richard Pryor is just being like stomach pushed by Erland and just freaking out, and Gene Wilder just goes to the bars and it's like I he's just free like yeah, I need yeah, some time alone like yeah
and then when they come back they're just playing cards.
It's very funny.
And then now we're friends with this multi-serial killer.
Exactly. So you have the Con Air situation where this guy has murdered like 50 people, but he hasn't hurt our friends. So
we're good with him.
He's cool. We like him quite a bit. We like this guy.
He's a very lovable guy.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with his serial killerness.
Yeah. It's all good.
It's not that he's a psychopath. We just love this guy.
It's fine.
He is very cool with our guys.
So then they decide we've got to break out of prison.
Yeah, they tell Gene Wilder, if you do the rodeo,
we have an opportunity to break out. And what's interesting is we never have the classic, here's the plan.
Yeah, which is
we just go right into them trying to break out.
Yeah, we never get the, all right, this is what we're going to do. And then it's an obligatory movie thing. You set up the plan, you do the plan, and halfway through the plan, something goes wrong.
Right.
And they have to adjust.
Exactly.
And do that. And then maybe at the end, you find out that that plan going wrong.
So was part of the plan. Yeah, exactly. Which is always good. Yeah, I like that a lot, actually.
If you do that nowadays, that's what you do.
It's all good.
But no, in this one, we don't get any of the plan.
Right. So it just goes right into them.
We see them because like the whole
time. Yeah, exactly. So they're making tools. And then once they actually start doing the plan, the whole time I'm like, wait, what are the, is this their plan? Are they going out? What are they doing? Yeah.
Are they just working? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know what's going on.
So,
one by one. And actually, the plan's very bad.
Yeah, the plan is actually another. It's super complicated for
way
no reason.
More complicated.
They already have it set up.
Richard Pryor, they loosen up some of the boards under the like where the rodeo is.
We should mention this. Hot Mom from Poltergeist.
Oh yeah.
They have a little girl in the bank that said that was not them that robbed the bank. That there was somebody else that had a tattoo
on his arm or whatever. Yeah.
So all she's looking for is this fucking tattoo.
So strip club.
So she goes undercover to a strip club because that's where you find bank robbers with tattoos. And sure enough, she finds that motherfucker.
She finds him. And also she finds a lot of like free swinging boobs.
Yeah, we do see a lot of boobs. Actually, it was a pretty good strip club.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
It was a pretty fun fucking looking strip club.
Yeah.
it was all like country girls and stuff, but they were pretty hot.
Yeah. All natural.
So that's happening at the same time. So then they are like, okay, we have to get to them because the rodeo is going to get them killed.
Right.
And
so then they take forever, and in the meantime, they've knocked down
whilst they are driving 3.5 hours in their fucking Plymouth,
exactly,
Excelsior or whatever the fuck Plymouth were called. they don't make those anymore.
The Stanley Excelsior,
Plymouth Stanley Excelsior.
They've knocked down one of the wood panels. They're sneaking out under like the bleachers, and they have the Mexican guy, his wife and his brother have this peanut and popcorn stand. So Richard Pryor gets into the peanut stand. They take him back to their car, which has like a camper on it.
Yeah.
He changes and you're like, oh, he's home free.
All right. So here's the plan then. He was very easy for Richard Pryor to get in there.
They could just keep doing that.
So they could just keep coming back, picking up guys.
Yep.
Nope. That's not what they do. No. Richard Pryor and the chick have to then go to the bathroom.
Back into the, yeah. the thing.
Go back the into there. Get into the bathroom. Wait till everybody leaves. Lock the door. Open the vent. And then the other guys have to go up into the rafters.
Up through the vent.
Where there are guards.
That's right.
Into because they have to avoid the guards.
And first of all, if you've locked that bathroom at a
full on fucking event.
Yeah, an event that has tens of thousands of people. 40
people are going to be like.
They're knocking on that yeah. fucking door. You are not like, that is suspicious as fuck.
One in the first fucking three people are going to be like, I'm going to go get the guy that works here.
Yeah.
Because and open this shouldn't fucking be locked. Shit. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Nonsense. Complete no. nonsense.
And so then they're all, it gets super overcomplicated.
So then they get dressed. Yeah. They change. They all go out. Gene Wilder, finally, he also goes out.
So he, well, I mean, we're polishing over the badass fight off, the rodeo off.
That's right. Well, there's a whole bunch of rodeo stuff where clearly it is Gene Wilder and not a stunt
double.
Not
a stunt double. This definitely is clearly Gene Wilder. This is clearly shirtless, buff Gene Wilder riding a fucking bull.
Riding a fucking bull in the rodeo grounds with a bull trying to like grab its
almost stuff getting killed by a bull. Yeah, yeah. That
definitely,
is clearly,
definitely really Gene Wilder.
That is real shirtless buff Gene Wilder.
Yep.
And then and the other guy too.
Yeah, the other guy that's definitely the other guy.
That's clearly same skin tone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean it's just a little when you get that wide shot, the skin tone changes a little bit. You gotta just ignore that.
That's just a wide shot. Yeah,
it's just a wide shot.
Yeah. So he, and then Gene Wilder and this other guy from the other prison are head to head. They're kicking ass. And then they're tied.
Gene Wilder lets him win.
And then, they have to steal the money off of this bull's horns.
Yeah.
And Gene Wilder's like, all right, I'm going to distract him. You get him. And he's like, why? And he's like, because who cares? We don't get any fucking money. We're prisoners, asshole. Yeah. Even if we got fucking, we're in prison. Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
We should just go to sleep.
I don't want to get bored by a fucking bull.
Yeah. So that happens. The guy does it. And then Gene Wilder goes, and then our good old friend, serial killer, killed 45 people.
He punches out Mike from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, because he was going to snitch him out.
Exactly. So, and then has Mike take Gene Wilder's place as Gene Wilder escapes.
So at this point, we were like, how weird that they're going to help the serial killer escape.
He stays behind.
He stays behind, which makes me like him even more.
I know, right? Yeah, that guy's a fucking like hero.
I don't care how many people he ate.
No, it doesn't matter. No, he's a nice guy.
He saved our guys. I want to be
best friends with that guy. Yeah.
He was my hero. Without him, the whole fucking movie doesn't happen. That's right.
So Gene Wilder also goes out the peanut way.
Yeah. Which again
should've everybody should have been.
Everybody should have gone the peanut way. In fact, you could fit like three dudes in that peanut.
That's right. So easy. So then they all escape in the camper. They split up at the
drive out. They're driving down and then. Exactly. The lawyer and the hot girl.
Yeah, exactly. See them
and they follow them. Yeah.
That's right. Everyone else leaves except for Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
Yeah, they're taking a different car. We don't know. What did the Mexican guy do? He said he robbed a bank. He robbed a bank. Correct.
He robbed a bank. He got accused of robbing like 8 banks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I feel like if you get accused of robbing 8 banks, you at least rob 5 banks.
Yeah. Yeah. He says one. It's probably 5.
Yeah.
It's 5. Yeah.
Then at the very least.
Yeah.
If not all of them. Then I don't
know. But look, he had a loving wife.
The black guy, we never know what he did.
No, we have no idea other than he is very
gay. For all we know, he beat several people to death.
Oh no, he does say he killed his stepfather.
Oh yeah. Okay. He's a gay black guy.
So he's a murderer.
I feel like killing your stepfather is probably because your stepfather was like
too super homophobic or something. Or like gay raping you or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Something, yeah. But they're still criminals. They're just like out on the fucking loose.
We love them.
Yeah.
Then Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor go to escape, and Hot Mom and Bad Lawyer show up, and they're like, oh, you don't have to escape. You're free. We caught the real bank robbers.
You're pardoned now. And then this is a very movie thing to do.
Yep.
Which is like, we're free? Hooray! Fuck yeah, hooray. This is it. That's it.
And then
it.
They just take off. And with Hot Mom.
Yeah, because Gene Wilder stops him and he's like, hey, you said you were going to come and see my play whenever I make my play. And she's
make
like,
make out.
Still? Yeah. And then right off into the sunset. Okay.
All right. First of all, they escaped from prison.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you were innocent of the original crime. If you escape from prison, that is a mandatory, like, that's a felony. That's a fuck. You can't just do that. It's not going to be like, oh, well, the whole time.
Yeah.
You were not even supposed to be in there. Well, don't break out of prison.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work that way.
No, it definitely doesn't work none of this works this way.
Yeah. Prison rodeo, except for the prison rodeos.
Except for the prison rodeo, which evidently was a real thing.
Which, and then also, by the way, so here's the thing with the Arizona State Prison. When they approached the Arizona State Prison to make this movie, the warden was like, fuck yeah, I've always wanted to have a prison rodeo. Here's my opportunity. Yeah,
exactly. So he was able to build all the rodeo grounds because of this movie. Because
he wanted, yeah, and he charged exactly, he charged them exactly what it would take to build rodeo grounds to do rodeos.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah, and then he did some rodeos, I guess, but that's...
And I guess most of the extras in this movie, actual prisoners.
Yeah, it's like 250 of the background people were actual prisoners in the actual
prison. Which is kind of an insane thing. Like, if you're Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, you're big... pretty big movie stars at this point, and you're like, hey, go hang out in this prison with actual murderers.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we're too famous to get shafted.
Yeah. They're not gonna bother us.
But if I was in prison,
yes,
if I have, like, there's no way I'm getting out. Like, I killed people. Sure. They have fingerprints.
Five people. Yeah, you're done.
I'm not even fucking thinking of appeals. I'm 200 years in.
Yeah.
I'm gonna die in this place. Maybe I take out Richard Pryor just to say I took out Richard Pryor.
You know, I feel like that's a one-way trip to getting raped every day.
That's true. Everyone
loves Richard Pryor. He's a very funny guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder, same thing.
The same. Too lovable.
Although, Gene Wilder, maybe if I'm like a Nazi white guy, because Gene Wilder's Jewish, isn't he?
Yeah.
Of course. Maybe I get in with the Nazis better.
Maybe.
I get some protection. Again,
Gene Wilder, so lovable. Yeah. So lovable.
Who would do that?
Yeah. Even Nazis got to love Gene Wilder.
Yeah. Maybe Nazis love the Gene Wilder.
Yeah. I assume Nazis love Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks, because how can you not?
Yeah. There's a story in Natural Born Killers. They shot that in the real prison too. And there's an interview with RDJ, Robert Downey Jr. in it, where he's like, oh yeah, we're walking through all these, like, the underbelly, and all this water's dripping off these pipes. And then I was like, oh, these are like the sewage pipes. Like, 20% of these guys are HIV positive. This is like the 90s. And he's like, and the other fucking 80% is their shit. Like, Jesus. This is a shit water. But I feel like in a prison, I kill RDJ. Robert Downey Jr. in 1990s, not as lovable.
Yeah,
that's
true, because he's not Iron Man yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have gone for it, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll just be an extra and just fucking...
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Then you're famous.
Yeah, exactly. Then I'm the guy that killed RDJ. Yeah,
exactly. You monster.
No Iron Man.
No.
Well, maybe Rob Lowe is Iron Man.
Maybe Rob Lowe, maybe Tom Cruise as Wizard Magazine.
They would have predicted it. Him and Danzig as Wolverine.
It's true.
Yeah. And the only one they got right, Patrick Stewart.
Arnold Schwarzenegger as Colossus. Yeah, they got Patrick Schwarzenegger right.
You're right. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Colossus, which I don't know why Lou Ferrigno was
Colossus. Yeah, exactly. Arnold Schwarzenegger's not even Russian.
No, he's not.
He's just Eastern Bloc. Anyways, how do we make this movie better?
All right, here's the part where we make the movie better.
So, we've already got a movie with a black guy and a white guy going to prison, wrongly accused.
Yes. We got Richard Pryor and
Gene Wilder, National Treasures.
And they only made three movies, all of them S
four
movies.
Four movies, but yes, very...
Oh, well, because of Blazing Saddles.
Well, yeah.
Richard Pryor was a writer in that.
No, I guess because what it was. It was Silver Streak.
This Stir one. Crazy. See no evil, hear no evil.
Wasn't there one more?
No, that's it. They made three movies together.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
All of them S movies.
S?
See no evil, hear no evil, Silver Streak.
Oh, S starting with that S. Okay. So their next movie is Sinister.
Yeah. About Mr. Sinister.
About Mr. Sinister. It's an X-Men tie-in.
Yeah, this is an X-Men tie-in.
Okay, so if they were playing X-Men, Richard Pryor is Bishop?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah. Rich Pryor, what if Richard Pryor's random?
Oh shit, I love random.
He's like an albino.
That is a deep cut.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of random.
Yeah.
So X-Factor character, random.
He can turn his hands
into guns. Cannons, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Then we have Gene Wilder, who, very sweet man. I almost want to say Xavier, but we already have an Xavier.
Yeah, who else
is
he?
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
Because not all I can think of is X-Factor characters.
Oh, okay. So like is he multiple man? I mean, he would be a really good multiple man.
What was it, Nice Guy or what was that?
Oh, are you talking about Guido, the strong guy?
Yeah, strong guy. That's right.
But he's not big enough.
And he was a kid, right?
Yeah.
He's like a little boy that can...
Oh, no, you're thinking of Rage.
Rage was the little boy
that could turn into the big guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was good.
He's Wolfsbane. The she-wolf.
The she-wolf.
The female werewolf.
I mean, he is a hairy man.
Yeah, he is. He's known a hairy for being man. A fucking hairy Jewish guy.
Yeah. Magneto, actually. He's Jewish.
Magneto's Jewish. Let's make
Gene Wilder.
So
Gene Wilder's Magneto. He's a very sweet Magneto. It's hard to hate him. He's so lovable.
Hey, he could pull it off. He could pull it off. He could do it.
Because even Richard Pryor's random. It's the Random and Magneto team up movie.
That we've all been wanting since the beginning of fucking X-Men.
Yeah. We've all wanted
X-Factor.
Random character random from early 90s X-Factor.
He went the most random of all the characters. To team up
with
random.
The most famous of all X-Men the villain, Magneto.
Played by Gene Wilder.
Played by Gene Wilder, very sweetly.
Yeah.
And
Do we still have like a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory type of ending where he tells like Random, like, you get all of this now.
Yeah, maybe it's Random is like, I'm torn between being an X-Man or a like Brotherhood of Mutants, and it's Magneto bringing him into Asteroid M, being like, look at this asteroid, isn't it grand? I have singing dwarves.
So it's a musical. Listen to that.
Yeah, it's a whole musical bit, and you have the singing dwarves, which are like, you know, you remember all of his early 90s henchmen, like you had like,
yeah,
you know, all like the one that could mess with time, like Tempo or whatever.
Had like those weird fucking early
Fabian Niese. No, yeah. Fabian Niese was the writer, but you had like all the crazy like early like 90s.
Shit.
Yeah. You have them all. And yeah, Toad's actually a perfect Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, Toad is like, already an Oompa Loompa.
Loompa. I'm a giant toad. I will lick you with my giant tongue. Yeah.
And then, Erlen Van Lith be an Oompa Loompa?
Oh, Erlen.
Could he be like the king of the Oompa
Loompas? He could be the king of
how
the Oompa
Loompas. How about all the Oompa Loompas like amass and then turn into him?
Perfect. I love that.
At one point, they're fighting.
And then you find out he's the we're taking multiple men in a new direction. Instead, it's a bunch of dwarves that become Erlen.
Yeah.
And he's just this big 6'6", like 350-pound wild man.
Clearly.
That crushes heads.
And we're talking about the 80s, so who's going to play all the Oompa Loompas? Our good friend Willow.
Of course Willow's playing the Oompa Loompas. Of course.
Because he got all the parts back then.
Of course he did, because he's the best.
Yeah. So he's playing all of them. They amass into fucking Erlen.
Yeah.
He is now multiple men, and that he can split into all the, and they can just run
exactly.
about.
Exactly, and they run about.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can do some bit where we CGI his arm off, like we green screen his arm off, and we have one Warwick running around.
We're like subspecies, the horror movie subspecies territory where the guy just falls and turns into a bunch of little creatures.
Exactly.
No, the gate.
Oh, yeah. Is that in that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's one of those, like a Charles Band type of like old school, tiny little monster from the 80s thing. Critters, trolls, like ghoulies, all that shit. But now it's like Willow playing all Oompa Loompas that turn into one giant Erlen. And they are now fighting Rich Pryor as Random.
And I feel like now we have to cast Gilda Radner as Professor X.
Yeah, I feel like, our hands are kind of tied.
Yeah, our hands are tied.
Yeah.
But now, like, that sexual chemistry between Magneto and Professor X, very real.
Yeah, until Professor X dies of cancer.
Yeah.
Then it gets kind of sad.
I think it's very sad, actually.
And that's how we would fix this movie.
We ended very low ending.
We got a low ending. Just an hour worth of cancer dying.
It gets real.
They're not even using mutant powers anymore.
It gets very real. You know, people always say the superhero movies are all spectacle, no real human emotion, but you know, we get to it.
Until
Gilda Radner's dying of cancer.
Until dying of cancer, Gilda Radner is playing Professor X.
And just Gene Wilder, the sweetest man alive, crying. Yeah.
He can bend so much metal, but he can't bend that cancer.
He can pull the adamantium from Wolverine's bones.
But not the fucking cancer.
Oh, God. This is really sad.
But if we did anything, we fixed this comedy about two friends that are going to end up going to prison.
Yeah, we certainly did. So I guess end result is, final impressions
final
of
thought.
This movie.
For them, I feel like it's their middle ground movie.
It's a middle ground movie. It's funny. It's not great. It definitely lags.
Yeah.
Like the second half,
second
not
act
great.
is pretty
yeah,
slow.
It's definitely lagging.
It's weird.
A lot of repetitive shit.
Yeah,
for sure. But it's also pretty decent.
And it's them. Seeing them do anything is pretty fun. Yeah. That is good. See No Evil, Hear No Evil still, their best movie.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Kevin Spacey with that weird mole on his face.
Young Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, young. I mean, we all knew what he was doing too, but.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know that at the time.
No.
But this is, but it was pretty good still. Pretty fun.
Yeah. Still not bad. Also, final thoughts. I'm sad now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still thinking about Gilda Radner dying, and it makes me very sad. I don't know. Why would you?
Although now
that
I'm thinking that prison not that bad.
Yeah, prison not that bad.
I feel like if we went to prison, we're at the same level as. We're talking about this now. If me and you ended up going to prison for the same crime,
that's right,
and to the same prison,
that's right.
Would we stay friends? Because obviously we have to join in different gangs.
Right, exactly. Because I'm white, you're Mexican.
Yeah,
it'd be an issue.
I'm not even just like Hispanic. I'm Mexican. So yeah. I have to go like M13.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, the big M tattooed on my face, and you gotta get swastikas.
Like the mutants.
Like the like
had the M tattooed on their eye.
Oh yeah.
Full circle.
And then you get swastikas like the mutants.
Like
that,
the mutants
were Nazis.
That, I guess Nazis. Yeah, the Nazis. You know the famous Nazi
like the
mutants.
Ones that. Like the ones that tried to kill.
Cyclops had a Nazi tattoo.
Gene Wilder, Magneto.
That motherfucker had a Nazi tattoo.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But
maybe early.
Wagner.
Oh yeah. Ah, see.
Now yeah. But he was also a gypsy.
Oh, that's weird.
So, anyways, join us next week where we talk more about the X-Men.
Yeah, in the podcast.
In the podcast.
About
that is about
9 to 5.
Yeah. A movie that is I assume is about. The X-Men.
Working 9 to 5?
I assume it is about the 9th and 5th X-Men, which I believe are Jean Grey and I want to say Warpath?
Yeah. Warpath sounds about. Warpath has a number 9 all over.
Thunderbird, I think, actually. Thunderbird.
Thunderbird. All right. Yeah. All right.
Warpath was his brother.
Okay. Was not an X-Men?
No, he was.
Okay. So, but not number 9.
But not number 9.
All right. So the 9 to 5 X-Men.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're gonna talk about. Hopefully we get M.I.N. on this.
It
one
might have been Banshee.
Maybe. I think Dolly Parton played
Banshee. She does have. Yeah. she is both very tiny, but she has that lovely voice. And pectorals.
Yeah, the pectorals.
Oh,
if anything. Yeah. All right. So join us next week.
Join us next week when we talk about 9 to 5. And until then, I've been E.G. Seitz.
I've been Francisco Landin.
This is Blockbuster Nostalgia. Please subscribe and tell your friends about our wonderful podcast. Good night and good journey.
We love you. You think we would ever have to end up in a knife fight, like a bad video?
What, you and me?
Yeah.
Against each other?
Yeah.
That's a complete possibility, sure.
What if we just like...
All right, so if we're in prison,
yeah,
right, and we have to join different gangs, and then they're like, you have to knife fight each other to prove your loyalty, would you stab me?
Oh, yeah.
God damn.
I think what we should do is first day in... We pretend to get into a crazy fucking fight.
And we just beat the shit out of each other?
Yeah, because it's me and you.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So we're not going to kill each other.
Yeah, that's true.
We just like fight it out so people are like, I'm not going to fuck with these guys. They're already getting the fights.
All right, so we've got to practice like some pro wrestling style.
Yeah.
Not hurting each other, hurting each other stuff.
Obviously, me taking a swing and you hitting your own side.
Exactly.
And falling.
And I just do that thing where I clap my hands as you're like hitting my head. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then back and forth, and we're the most irrealistic fucking fight
that's right.
ever.
I just end up choke slamming you, and you rock bottom me.
Yeah. Just wrestling moves.
Just
all the
total
way.
Wrestling moves. Leg drop. You do the whole crowd thing where you're like trying to Hulk up.
People are like wrapped around and like watching us and stuff, and then they're like, so we're going to rape them, right? And they're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're going to rape them.
Oh, we're going to rape them.
Oh, you better believe there's going to be some raping.
Because, I mean, we will be wearing tights, which is just really showing off the guns.
Yeah. Which is a short-sightedness. We should not be wearing tights.
No, we should. And we oiled up, which was another
again.
Just bad mistake.
We were
on
full
our part.
Shave, full body shaved.
Yeah. Very
oiled up.
Did not think it through.
Yeah.
But just wrestling was so cool.
Leave nothing to the imagination. But yeah, exactly. And then. We're flexing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we did do that. Yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of asking for it.
Yeah.
Well, with the being drunk and dressed like that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.